Hello and welcome to Dave Wright's podcast. I'm your host, Dave Wright. Thank you for joining me here as I'll be sharing with you all my novel called Soul, one chapter per week. In case that is not enough of me in your life, I will also be releasing one of my short stories per week in a later episode. Now, I don't want to front load too much as I would like the story to speak for itself. So if you are interested, then please stick around at the end of the episode where I'll talk more about the genesis of the idea and about this week's chapter. For now though, I really hope you enjoy chapter 1 of Soul entitled, It Always Begins with Death. He had killed his own son. Sure, it was an accident. Sure, he didn't mean to do it. But when did that ever matter? I twirled the bottle between my fingers, vaguely listening to the music filling the room. I replayed the night again in my head. Levi and Miranda thought they were my friends. Well, as much as people like them can have friends. It's not that they're bad people, it's just that supers always attract crazies. It's the way of the world. No matter what you do, if you manifest any sort of power, you will draw enemies. And supers? They seem to draw people with a penchant for stroking white cats while mumbling dire portents to themselves. So Levi and Miranda kept most people in their lives at arm's length, making it difficult to be their friends. When they were trying to bring a child into the world though, there's no way I would not be there for that. They didn't think someone without powers should be there, but Levi knows me, he trusts me enough that he wanted me to watch his back. How are we supposed to know the horrific would not come from an outside force? I took another swallow of cool beer, killing the bottle and hating myself just a little bit more. I couldn't muster the interest to leave my comfy swivel chair to stumble to my little bar fridge. Instead, I fished a beer from the box next to me and cracked the top off. Ugh, warm. That's the price I pay for this little pity party, though. The birth was going as smoothly as any involving two supers could, considering their powers. Levi, Twisted Mirror, he was the one who the doctors were not worried about. His power is simple in approach, but stupidly complex when you stop and really think about it. He had won the Super Roulette. It's not like that asshole Captain Purple with the everything I touch becomes lavender, or the lady who simply calls herself God who can distort both space and time. No, when Levi suffers a strong enough impact, he creates a mirror of himself. Easy enough. Except Levi had never bothered to try and learn to control his super. He was lazy like that. So every time the mirror of him jumps out, there's always something magnified about it. Maybe it's a gift for violence, or his sense of smell is fantastic. Maybe he loves dogs just a bit too much. Levi never knows what's going to be pulled into existence. Thankfully though, the mirrors he creates don't have the same super, otherwise we would end up in a world overrun by him. It had been bad enough during his great Levi Forward, the period when he had created hundreds of copies of himself and sent them out into the world with different missions. Those were weird times. It felt like every face you saw in Arcadia back then was another Levi. I try not to think of that period, it's too painful. Brutally though, Levi Prime can reabsorb the copies back into himself. Brutally, because these copies are flung into existence. Everything about them is a functional, normal human. They can go on and live their lives. Love, learn, hate, enjoy romantic poetry, disappoint their lovers, everything a normal person should do. However, if Levi Prime touches them, they're destroyed, and he gains their skills and knowledge, everything they've ever thought. I've seen it happen so many times, you would think I was numb to it by now, but it still seems to me like a cleaner version of murder. The music shifts to a more maudlin track, matching my mood as I think back over the birth. Miranda was keeping her power in check, barely. If she lost control of her siren-like scream, she would blow out the floor of the hospital, if not the entire wing. The doctors were well-versed in super births, though, and had Miranda medicated to the gills to prevent such an outcome. Everyone was busy monitoring Miranda to ensure that she did not lose control, that she didn't somehow self-sabotage this birth. Swigging from the bottle, I realized I'd already finished it. I couldn't face another warm one right now, so I fought out of the depths of the chair and changed the music to something more upbeat as I made my way to the cold ones. Fridge raided and another one ready to go. The memory of the ending rose up in my mind like a vengeful curry. I hated the bottle in my hands. I thought I'd moved on from using it as a crutch, but sometimes you have to fall back on what works. I'd arrived at the hospital after the main event. I'd been prowling the corridors, trying to keep an eye on Levi Prime, and on the off chance that one of the big bads were stupid enough to try and raise their hands on this day. If they did, they would have entered into a world of pain. Levi and Miranda had enough supers guarding them to fend off an army. I should have seen the real threat coming. Anyone who actually stopped and thought should have seen it coming, especially me. Even then, I could feel a tickling at the back of my brain, but I'd put it down to being worried for the happy couple. Then, it was all over. It was done. There was Miranda holding a small pink bundle in the recovery room, her face still strained and sweating, radiating happiness and pride. My thoughts catch as they have since then, replaying the moment in painful clarity. Levi, say hello to your son, Sean. Levi, standing there stunned and wearing the mask of all newly minted fathers, part pride, part joy, total confusion. I see him reaching out and taking the bundle in his arms, and a small pink hand starts waving at the air in protest. Levi, the twisted mirror, reaches out and touches the tiny hand. The tiny hand of an almost exact genetic copy of himself.
My son!
I shudder upright in the chair, the cold beer forgotten in my hands as the ghostly cry of Miranda reverberates through the office, the heart-wrenching distress filling the air with its own silence. Sean was absorbed back into Levi. How had no one seen this possibility? How could you possibly deal with this? There's nothing you can say that doesn't fall flat, that doesn't sound like empty platitudes. He had destroyed his own son in front of his loving wife. If that's not enough to shatter the man, to reduce him to howling, impotent fury, then I don't know shit about him. Miranda had given up, had gone somewhere else in her mind where it no longer hurt. She was keeping herself smacked out on pain meds, so no one could talk to her and she could avoid her own personal hell. Levi was itching for a fight. He needed to hit something, to kill, to lash out and shift the pain to someone else. He needs an external force to vent on, but none of the bad guys are biting. It's as if even they are aware that something truly terrible had happened, and this had brought Levi a respite. I began to draw my mind away from the circle of events that had been spinning the last few days. I was not achieving anything. Casting about my office, my eyes fell on the piles of clothes, the plates of half-eaten food left around like landmines for the unwary. I have a lady who comes in and pretends to clean the place, and I pretend to pay her a decent wage, so I call us even. The music was still running, the system was filling the room with its far too cheery sound, overlaying the gentle hum of the bar fridge. Shouts and sounds of people living their lives and fighting off the darkness surrounding them was flowing in through the window behind my desk. The creak of the hallway outside my office announced to me that Levi had finally managed to work his way to asking for help. I knew he'd show eventually. He always did. He didn't knock as he stumbled in, briefly casting around the place, taking in the office in one bleary-eyed sweep. I nod to the chair opposite me and watch as he pushes the collection of mostly clean clothes off onto the floor.
Levi, good to see you, man.
I say as I fish a beer out of the box at my chair and throw it towards him. I can smell him from here, he's practically sweating whiskey right now, so hopefully I can slow up his quest to get horizontal as fast as possible. Not many people are saying that these days, he drawls. He puts my theory of slowing him to the test as he guns the beer and lets it fall beside him. I wanted a drink, not a goddamn rental. Got anything more serious? I shrug and grab another beer and carefully pass it across. His voice is both languid and clipped at the same time, making me think the alcohol is not feeling lonely in his system. Levi's not a huge man, clocking in just shy of 180 centimeters, built like a runner. Before he would be called ruggedly handsome, but now with his beard gone from stylishly rogue to I own a van with blacked out windows. His eyes, which were usually sharp and penetrating, now look like two undercooked eggs, watering and wobbling. His clothes had a memory of being their striking twisted mirror outfit, now rumpled and covered in questionable stains.
Always welcome here, Levi. You know that. You have interesting jobs and hay enough for a man to enjoy life. So, what is it? Business or pleasure?
Avoiding the elephant in the room is difficult when it's staring at you with bloodshot eyes and threatening to add to the mess on the floor.
I want you to bring him back, he growls.
Not at me, at the world in general. I just happened to be in the vicinity. The music built higher and higher, happy to take the stage as neither of us are willing or able to bring anything to that statement. I just stared at Levi, unsure of what he actually wanted from me, him and his own pain-filled hell. The silence between us slowly filling with everything he'd been torturing himself about since the event. I keep revisiting it in my mind. How had we not seen this coming? How in the whole 9 months of the pregnancy did no one stop and consider the question? Can Levi actually touch his own son? How had I not seen this possibility? He drains the second bottle and lets it fall with his brothers. I throw him another. Someone need to be the bad guy for him here. I mentally shrugged. I'd worn that coat more than once.
He's gone, Levi. You know that. There is nothing for you to get back.
I load the words into the sentence like rounds into a chamber. He need to understand and somehow find it in him to move on. Even in the echoes of my own mind, though, I knew that was never gonna happen. I watched him flinch as my words struck home. I know he needs this. He's one of the toughest sons of bitches I know in his own way, but even he has his breaking point. Looking at him now, barely staying upright in the chair, I was worried he was long past it. I tried myself to bring him. He trails off, staring at his own darkness. I know all too well how his power works. He has no control over what mirror of him will be jumping out each time. He's never learned to control it, had never learned if it was even possible to control. I grimly thought about how he'd sent one of his copies out on that very mission so many years ago. Strangely enough, he'd never voluntarily returned to die and give up that hard-won knowledge. I had visions of Levi in this state, bringing mirror after mirror of himself into this world in search of his now dead son. Forcing himself to keep going, to keep reabsorbing these copies, each one creating the same sucking feeling of destruction from losing his son. How long? How long did he continue until he snapped? I watched him easily empty the bottle and wordlessly threw him another. Hundreds. It must have been in the hundreds. Hundreds of him forced into existence and then destroyed in his search. This was so far beyond getting wasted, seek out ladies of negotiable affection and soak in debauchery. I know why he's here, but not what I could actually give him. I can't take this half-boiled stare much longer, though.
Levi, what do you actually want from me? I've done everything you have ever bought me. That mirror of you that went weird in the head and started collecting the feet of homeless people? I was the one who tracked him down and took care of him.
The memory of that night also took care of me for a good month or so.
That jade thing from a few months ago? You said you needed it or the world would end. Well, I got it for you and the world's still here, so I guess that worked out for the good guys. This? I don't even know what you're asking me here.
Well, strictly not true, but no need in helping him along. I leant forward, feeling the track change again. I forced myself to meet his red-eyed gaze, now made difficult by the scar down my eye pulling more than usual. I had to be ready. There's no handbook for facing off with one of the most powerful supers, who was either insane or laughingly skipping along that path. The Seeker, Levi Prime said. He was the first to break the silence between us. There was a raucous laugh from the street punctuating his statement. I felt like joining in. The Seeker. That was the name I'd given the Phantom I'd chased half a year for Levi. Once Levi had moved to the big leagues of supers, and he actually had to spend time thinking about his power. Before, it was street brawls against low-level toughs like Iceman, real original name that one, or Rock Hard, a real uncomfortable bastard. Levi would always rely on creating his own army of mirrors and beat the crap out of them. Going against the real bad guys, the ones who held entire cities in their grip, his mirror effect was no longer enough by itself. That's what had triggered his own version of the Great Leap Forward. Created hundreds of mirrors and sending them out into the world to live their lives and learn. Each given their own separate mission and ordered to return after 2 years for Levi Prime to absorb all they'd become, all that they'd learnt. Some were given the simple goal of learn French. Others more ethereal like find the point of this existence. I always felt sorry for the ones with things like watch every movie ever made. God, that one was a mess when I found him. An unemployed bastard had bloated up so far I could hardly tell he was a Levi anymore. When I found him, he'd come back willingly, even knowing that it meant his end. They were all ordered to return after the 2-year mark, but could you imagine that? To you, you were your own person, with thoughts and dreams. You'd constructed a life. Some had a family and children, others business empires run with their own determination and zeal. All the while you knew you're on the clock, to return and have your existence snuffed out just to help some bastard understand the stock market? Most of them took the simple option of run and hide. Others tried to fight it. Some went insane. Levi mostly found them in the end and returned them to the fold. But the harder ones, he'd taken to turning them over to me when I showed up. I'd set myself up as somewhat of a private dick when I hit Arcadia about 5 years back. Levi Prime was one of my very first clients. I never found the one I labeled the Seeker, the one whose mission was the most important. Learn to control my super. It must have been a stretch at the time, as how could the mirror learn about something he didn't himself have? Being created as a mirror, lacking the super to create other mirrors at the time. It was Levi Prime being lazy or stupid as always. Instead of trying to figure it out himself, he had delegated. Levi had not bothered to try and recover the Seeker for so long. He had finally approached me. He needed to find him, as Levi was gearing up for some earth-ending calamity or another, so he came to me to try and find the copy known as the Seeker. I searched for 6 months. I thought it would be easy. It was my one real failure apart from my social life. I looked at the growing pile of empties. The drinking again as well, I suppose, makes two. I was always one lead behind, always finding just one more clue, but could never catch the Seeker. I'd driven all my friends and contacts away with my constant digging, my obsession. I'd need to find the Seeker to close that chapter on my life. I knew he was what Levi was after. He could be the key to this whole mess. Levi Prime had told me the Seeker had been missing for the better part of 7 years by now. Imagine what Levi could have learned if he tried to control his super himself instead of his usual relying on his mirrors. I realized I'd been sitting in silence, retreating into my own mind again with that red glare not a meter away, the sounds from the speakers washing over everything. The Seeker? He could do it, Levi prompted when he saw my gaze return to the present. I nodded slowly.
He could, Levi. You know that I chased him to the arse end of the world and back. I never found him. What makes you think, 3 years on, that I stand a chance now?
I matched his stare. I knew this was what he was here for. I was ready. I had 1,000 arguments of why I shouldn't do this, of why he shouldn't even ask this, of why it was a waste of time and stupid to suggest it, of that it's his lust for power, without putting in the effort, was what brought him to this place. With all that, I was not ready for his reply. Please, soul, it's not for me. It's for my son. That was Chapter 1. It always begins with death. Now, I started writing this story as I'd been idly playing with an idea for a while about what it would be like to try and live a normal life in a world filled with superhumans. For a long time there, superhero stories were about these beings with incredible powers fighting each other. Normal people were not really involved, as why would they? It's not like a random thug could take down Superman. Nor why would you tell the story of some random schlub in a world full of supers? Wouldn't the story of the supers be much more interesting? After letting the idea work its way through my mind, I knew I wanted to tell one. About an unpowered person trying to make a living in this world. They would still need to be interacting with supers, so of course they would have to be broken in some way. There's no way you could stay sane and normal when trying to swim in the same currents as supers. The bones of the story were a long way off, but the inciting incident I had already thought of while working on it, of Levi and his powers and him accidentally killing his own son. However, instead of him being the protagonist, I shifted the story focus to Sol. There was no way of making Levi the driving force, as he was so shattered from what had happened. Whenever I extrapolated out his story in my mind, it either diluted what had happened to him, making it seem hollow, or it simply became a mindless revenge plot. I don't want to spoil anything, so I'll leave it here. I hope you enjoyed the first chapter. Stay tuned next week for chapter 2. If you want to hear more of my stories, don't forget I also present a short story per week on this podcast. You can find more information about my work on my website, davewrights.com. That's Dave, WRIGHTS.com. I also have a Patreon if you want to go check that out and help support me. Until next week, take care.